This is transactional entertainment lawyer Joshua Lasteen, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Welcome to the 345th episode of Geekcast Radio. Now, you may have heard me say that before, folks, but because I forgot to put numbers in the other episodes to keep track of it, because we generally don't put numbers in most of the time anymore in the titles. We do now on certain ones, but this is actually the 345th episode of Geekcast Radio. I'm, of course, Steve June Mike. Joining me is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo.
Or I should say, alrighty then.
That's right. So this episode, folks, it was originally going to be an episode of Studio 2009, because when the Chaos Queen and I did our discussion on 1985's Once Bitten, starring Lauren Hutton, Jim Carrey, and others, I was doing research on Jim Carrey, because every movie we discuss on any of our podcasts that we do here at the GCRN, we always look at the actors and actresses and see what they've been in and whatever else. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong. Because I knew, as we all know, Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, Batman Forever, Cable Guy, Liar Liar, Truman Show, Simon Birch, etc., etc., etc. Basically, all of his movies from the 90s. Ace was his big breakout hit, obviously. What I didn't know was that Ace, Mask, and Dumb and Dumber are all 1994. So they are all 30 years old this year, but I didn't realize that. I thought they were staggered. Like, I thought Ace was 90. I knew Ace was 94 and Mask is 94. I thought Dumb and Dumber was like 90, late 95, early 96. It's not. So when we titled this, I was like, okay, let's talk about the breakout roles of Jim Carrey. Ace Ventura wears a mask and looks dumb and dumber. So yeah. And I'm like, yeah, Studio 2009 can't hold all of this awesomeness. And obviously, I need, you know,
I can't hold all of this dumb.
Yes, because it's so much dumber in Geekcast Radio. And I was like, oh, well, that's three movies, and that's three of Steve's movies, or at least two. I don't know how you feel about Dumb and Dumber. We'll get to that. But basically, the genesis of the episode is his breakout roles happened in February, July, and December of 1 year. 1 year. Not 3 years, not 4 years, not 5 years. One freaking year. Three blockbuster films. And the interesting, sad thing is, only two of them are in the top 10 from that year. Mask and Dumb and Dumber are in the top 10. Ace isn't, which is weird to me. So was Ace Ventura the first thing you had seen him in, or had you seen him as Fire Marshal Bill on In Living Color on his TV stuff before?
So I saw him in Liar Liar.
Which is after all of this, but yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's essentially what I saw him in. And I loved that film. However, I did see him in Dumb and Dumber, as well as The Mask, as well as Ace Ventura, right around the same time.
Yeah.
And honestly, my favorite out of them is, it's kind of a tie between The Mask and Ace Ventura. But Ace Ventura, I have to say, maybe not so much the first one, but the second one for sure. Oh. Is my favorite. I liked the second one just because he's driving a monster truck and it's just weird in general. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it for other reasons, not because oh, look, the mother rhino's giving birth.
Or, oh, look, it's Bat Guano. They lost me at Bat Guano. I'm like, I'm out. See ya.
It's it's Chicago. And the song was funny, though, because it would go, and then it'd go, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I don't know. I remember seeing it on cable.
Mm-hmm.
It was on TBS. And my dad, you know, was cracking up laughing because it's like, oh, look, the mother rhino's giving birth. And he's just like, you know, almost like what you would expect from one of those old Get Smart type things, or, you know.
Yeah.
I like Ace Ventura. The first one's a little, it could never be made today.
Oh no.
Some of the jokes. I mean, yeah. Neither could really Dumb and Dumber. I mean, Dumb and Dumber, they tried to make a sequel and it was crap. You kind of had gold with the first one. The second time just doesn't resonate. So, but yeah, I mean, but Ace Ventura was kind of my favorite out of those. I liked The Mask because, you know, superhero,
mm-hmm.
anti-hero, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. But it was fun. I mean, they all were in their own way. Yeah. And then it gave Jim Carrey a reason to scream in different voices.
That's right.
So.
But you don't see this today. I mean, you don't see three of the biggest films released in the same year, unless they're superhero films. But even then, that's questionable, because it just depends on the superhero film, mostly Marvel probably. But, this is probably the last time I saw three huge films release in one year. And what I mean by that is, for one actor to be in three separate films, all obviously three very different films, because you have, you know, different production companies, different this, different writers, different directors. Dumb and Dumber was the Farrelly brothers. The Mask was directed by Chuck Russell and produced by Bob Engelman. The cool thing about Ace was, because it was his debut, it was also a joint thing, and he actually helped rewrite the script, and they let him improvise on set.
And to be honest, when Jim Carrey is allowed to improvise, the films are better.
Oh yeah.
And that's happened with every film. I mean, Ryan Reynolds, Robin Williams, you know, you kind of have to give them that footing to kind of run with it.
Yeah. And again, I say this every episode, I look at films in the time that they were made. There is a really cringy shower scene in Once Bitten. That would never be made today. Ace Ventura would never be made today. However, looking at it in the lens of 30 years ago, it was hilarious. It still is hilarious, even though some of the jokes that would not be not be kosher today are bad. The rest of the film, the one scene, the shower scene in Once Bitten, did not take Chaos and I out of that movie. It's less than 2 minutes of a shower scene, and then it moves on. And yeah, it's cringeworthy and everything else and all that, but the Ace stuff, it's oh, okay, that's part of the plot. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Okay, well, it is what it is. That's the part of the story they decided to do. But overall, I mean, it's a guy who talks to pets. And he's a pet detective. It's a funny concept. And I still, I mean, Dan Marino himself even says it at the end of you're a weird guy, Ace. Weird. Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate that.
But I mean, that's what made the film fun, though, is they didn't take it too seriously. And
yeah,
that's something that's kind of lost on modern day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ace, man, I haven't actually watched this in forever.
What's your favorite part of it? Like, I kind of enjoy the quirky personality of him, and he's playing so many different parts. He's, you know, he's a spy, he's undercover, he's playing an Uber fan.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm here, you know, and he's like, I need to see this and a clean pair of shorts, you know, he's like jumping around like a ballerina and then, you know, face plants on a bench and, you know, being like, oh, he's adopted.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of the jokes are just hilarious, and he's just doing goofy stuff. I mean, going through the party and he's got asparagus hanging from his mouth.
He does.
He's like, do I have something in my teeth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so like there's so many memorable jokes with it that it just makes it fun. And I feel like today, like, the fun has been sucked out of films.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like with Ace Ventura and The Mask and Dumb and Dumber, I mean, yeah, there are things that would never float today, but they're funny. And it gives you that escapism that you need, you know, and I am shocked that all three came out at the same time.
I was too. Like, I literally, like, I thought
the dude had to have been working his butt off. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like,
I knew two of them came out at the same time. I wasn't aware of three of them.
I wasn't, like, I thought Dumb and Dumber was like in between Batman Forever and Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls. I thought Dumb and Dumber was 95. Because I knew Cable Guy was 96, and I knew Liar Liar was 97, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and all that. And obviously Batman Forever is, oh my god, next year is the 30th anniversary of Batman Forever. Holy shit. But Ace, yeah, it's just, for me, the one thing I always go back to, especially now since I've been watching true crime for the last, I don't know, almost 2 decades or longer. I mean, I watched true crime stuff when I was a kid, like America's Most Wanted and Current Affair and things like that when I was a kid, but I didn't really get it. And then Forensic Files came out. I'm like, ooh, I get this. But I think it was ever since about 2008, late 2007, early 2008, I really started getting into true crime. And I've been watching true crime stuff ever since. And I swear, every time any of these true crime shows where it's a hotel room or it's an apartment with a balcony, I'm like, if that ain't double pane glass, or if that is double pane glass, there's no way. And the only thing I hear is, wow, and it opens the door, closes the door. That's the first thing I think of anytime I see double pane glass in any of these true crime shows that I watch, because I'm like, there you go, Ace, right there. Well,
that's the first thing I think of, too. Like, I legitimately look at it, and I'm like, anytime I see double pane glass, and I open up my own slider, I think about it.
Yep.
Like, it's literally that thought that just never goes away.
Nope, not at all. The other, I like the, when he finds the ring in the tank, after they've drained the tank and moved Snowflake off to wherever, or the Snowflake has been kidnapped, and he goes into the tank and does his little, and literally, like, you don't see a lot of those shots anymore nowadays. You don't see the shots of super close up the way that that was done when he was looking for that, the jewel part of the ring. I love that about it. I just love how crazy the Ace character is with everybody. I constantly quote, if I have any questions for anybody, excuse me, I have to ask you a couple of questions.
I've used that one before. Or, thank you very much.
Yes, exactly. And then obviously the interim is like if I did that to you, the first thing you'd say to me is, Mike, I don't have time for you or your ass. you know, because that's the opposite part of the line from Tone Luke's character. It's just such a good damn movie. We were saying that, Kai and I were saying this on the Dragon's Lair last week, or whenever the hell, whenever this is going to air, about how movies have always been made to be escapism. Like, I don't need the Vietnam War in Star Wars. I don't need the this, the that, and the other thing. I don't need real world stuff in, as Ben Affleck put it in 2001's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, fictional characters. You know, and just thinking about Ace and reading the Wikipedia article again, and just, I'm like, oh my, like, this is a movie I don't ever really need to watch again. I will, because I want to enjoy myself at some point or another and have a laugh. But I know you and I both know this movie like the back of our hand. We don't need to watch it. We want to watch it. That's the difference.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I haven't even watched these films in forever, and so it's kind of a breath of fresh air. Like, I don't love Dumb and Dumber as much as the other two.
No.
I mean, there's aspects of it I enjoy.
Yeah.
But overall, on a whole, I don't really love that film.
Yeah, no. Again, it was just one of those things where, again, the whole premise of this podcast episode is that all three of them came out in the same year, and I was like, wow, how? But, yeah. The Mask, and that's like Ace Ventura turned up to 2000.
Well, it's like you took, and I kind of equate Stanley Ipkiss as kind of like the dorky, nerdy dude that finally gets his comeuppance, because he's like, he's watching cartoons, he's doing impressions, he's having fun, he's, you know, he's not invited to stuff because he's kind of a dork, and kind of unsure of himself, and you kind of get that vibe too in his Liar Liar role, which came out a couple years later, and he looks very similar, but this is him more like when he's kind of unsure of himself and he's kind of gullible, whereas like Liar Liar, he's kind of a dirtbag and kind of purposely trying to screw people over. So, I mean, you get like kind of the opposite spectrum, but he kind of looks the same. So it gives this, but he's still able to play like the comedic part, because, you know, obviously he can't lie in the one. And then in this one, he's wearing the mask and able to kind of let loose. And then you get Ben Stein and he's just like, well, we all wear masks. And he's like, no, you're not understanding. And he's trying to like put it on, but it doesn't work because it's during the day. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's fun, and I really wish that he would have gotten the opportunity to do a second Mask film, although they kind of left his character off on a nice note that he kind of got everything he wanted and he chucked it because he didn't need it anymore. And then they had to make the Son of the Mask, which was a travesty.
Yeah, that movie doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. It was horrible and it was stupid. And I've heard rumors, I don't know how true they are, I've heard rumors that he may, like, Jim Carrey's lightly, roughly talked about doing another Mask film or an Ace Ventura 3. Out of the options available, I would much rather see him as Ace Ventura once more. I think he should leave the mask alone. Dumb and Dumber 2, or Dumb and Dumberer, or whatever they called it, it was stupid, and it didn't need to be made. And I feel like it was lightning in a bottle. Like, Ace Ventura, I feel like could have been an easily a trilogy and just been left there. But the other two, I feel like, should have just been standalone, because that's all the legs that they had to run with. Whereas Ace, like, he literally is a pet detective. Like, there's literally a mission for him to do, whereas the other two, there isn't. And so, but I did genuinely enjoy the films for what they were.
Yeah, I mean, The Mask does kind of have a mission. He's kind of the superhero up against the former mob boss kind of thing. Because when the mob boss gets the mask, it's basically just straight up villainy. It's just evil kind of thing. And that's the point of the mask, is that it embodies the personality of the person. So embodying Stanley Ipkiss, this mild-mannered type person, Clark Kent type, he basically turns into Superman with a green face. kind of thing. The interesting thing to me about these three movies coming out in the same year, Ace had a budget of $15 million. It made $107.2 million. Mask had a budget of $18 to $23 million. It made $351.6 million. And then Dumb and Dumber had a budget of $17 million and made $247.3 million. So between the three of them, I don't know what Carrie's cut was, and I don't care. It's not that whatever. 351, 247, and 107. Let's just say close to $900 million or something like that. Almost $1 billion between three movies. I mean, yeah, nowadays we have one movie like Avengers Endgame or whatever making $1 billion by itself, but
one. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing, though. Like nowadays, having movies that make $1 billion, because it kind of it sets this precedent that unless it makes that much money, it's you know not good. And looking back at these films, yes, I mean it, after inflation, they probably made you know double what they're. What they're yeah. showing, because this was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But they still resonated. They still did really well. I mean, they probably would have made $500 million easy.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, collectively, essentially where he's at in his career at this point, even just starting out, mm-hmm. he's about where Ryan Reynolds' films are at this point, mm-hmm. where he's like crapping gold, like yeah. and Jim Carrey was that in the 90s, and mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds is that for this era because it's crude and it's you know he's able to placate to that style, and he has the original stories and the originality with it. I mean look at all the stuff Jim Carrey came out with in the 90s. It was all pretty iconic, and yeah. I mean you had you know, I forget what year this came out, like the Truman Show or the...
It was 98.
Yeah, and then there was the other one, The Majestic.
Yeah, Majestic right around 2001.
Yeah, but I mean, they were all within the same, like, 10-year span. He did all these films, yeah. and they were great. Yeah. And so, like, I feel like he hit this awesome stride, and I love the fact that he finally did a trilogy with mm-hmm. Sonic.
Yeah.
And he's getting to play, like, this third one, he's playing his grandfather and Robotnik, you know, yeah. Robotnik and Robotnik's grandfather or dad or whatever. And it's funny because he's acting across himself, but it kind of reminds me of that Lemony Snicket, you know, series that he did for a bit.
Yeah.
It's a testament to his craft and his acting capabilities, you know, whether you know him as Fire Marshal Bill, which is funny, too.
Let me show you something.
Or the bit parts he's played on Saturday Night Live where he's playing like Matthew McConaughey or, mm-hmm. You know, is it the Lincoln that's driving me or am I driving it? You know, yeah. And then, you know, Ace Ventura, Stanley Ipkiss and Lloyd, yeah, you know, and I just the thought that went into all of these was great. And I love the fact that even with Dumb and Dumber, he took his cap off of his front tooth that he'd actually chipped his tooth from.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's actually his chipped tooth.
Yeah.
In the film. And then he pushed to have Jeff Daniels be in the film because he wanted a serious actor to be across from him, you know, instead of just another comedian. Cause I think they were going to have like a Jim Brewer or somebody else that like that be opposite of him. And he's like, no, we need a serious actor that can, you yeah. know, pull off different stuff. And it was gold, you know? So, I mean, the 90s had this nice iconic era with Jim Carrey, you know, in varying degrees.
Yeah. And we can go through at some point or another, Jeff Daniels and another time, another episode kind of thing. But I mean, just looking at his stuff, just wow. Like you're right, serious actor compared to, and yeah, you only can really act, like if you're the class clown, you don't need another class clown. You need
somebody that's yeah. got some range.
Yeah. And Jim and Jeff together as Lloyd and Harry respectfully, it works. It just freaking works. And yeah, I mean, Oh, man, I forgot. All right, folks. Not trying to bring the podcast down, and we'll have to do a whole separate episode about this because... So in Dumb and Dumber, we have Lauren Holly as Mary Swanson, who is the wealthy but troubled heiress whose husband, Bobby, has been kidnapped. And then we have Helen Swanson, Mary's stepmother, played by the recently deceased Terry Garr. I forgot she was in Dumb and Dumber. Because honestly, the only thing I remember Terry Garr from is she voiced Mrs. Mary McGinnis from Batman Beyond.
Yep, I saw that.
Yeah. So when she passed, I was like, oh, man.
She was even in Star Trek, the original series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I think the actor's spotlight, we haven't done an actor's spotlight or a movie spotlight here on GCR since I think like episode 14, like 15 years ago when we talked about William Shatner. I think the actor's spotlight is going to come back here on Geekcast Radio.
Oh, for sure.
Holy crap. Like, yeah. And it's not that we're looking into these people's lives. We're looking into the stuff that they created with what they wanted to do with their life, like becoming an actor or an actress and that kind of thing. And just remembering the cool stuff that they gave us in entertainment, which is very, very awesome. But yeah, no, out of the three of them, I would say Dumb and Dumber is my less watched of the three. I will watch Ace and Mask probably more than Dumb and Dumber. And Dumb and Dumber is not a bad movie. It was my first introduction to the Farrelly brothers, which they have a movie next year coming up on its 20th anniversary, which is Fever Pitch. Which I absolutely love that movie because it's centered around my team, the Boston Red Sox. But yeah, I was just shocked to see. And Carey himself, like, you know, yeah, he started out as this, like, breakout comedy hit actor with Fire Marshal Bill and Ace and Mask and Dumb and Dumber. But then, like, he literally went from comedy to serious, like, okay, Bruce Almighty's a little more comedy. I have to actually see Eternal Sunshine. I don't remember Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's 20 years old this year, too. You mentioned Lemony Snicket. I remember we did an... I forget which episode of Studio 2009 it was. We did Fun with Dick and Jane.
I still love that movie to this day. Yeah. That's still one of my all-time favorite movies. Like when I'm feeling down and I need a good laugh, even though I know verbatim how that movie is going to go.
Yeah.
Because I mean, ultimately, every time I've gotten laid off, I've watched that film. Because I'm like, essentially that happened with his character. Like he got downsized for no fault of his own. Like he's just a part of a business that's just not doing good. Mm-hmm. And so he gets cut and, you know, he's trying to scrape by and, of course, doing nefarious and, you know, illegal things to kind of keep his family afloat. But it's the wacky stuff that's going on in it. And it just, I don't know, it's just fun. And so I watch it and I'm just entertained the entire time, even though, like, I mean, it's clean.
Yeah. And what I mean when he kind of went serious was after that, the 2 years later, he would come back in The Number 23, the American psychological thriller film written by Finley Phillips and directed by Joel Schumacher. Holy crap. His 23rd film, Jim Carrey stars as a man who becomes obsessed with the 23 enigma once he reads about it in a strange book that seemingly mirrors his own life. We're doing a podcast on that at some point because I loved that movie. That's the kind of stuff I can handle. Like, I'm not really the big blood, guts, and gore kind of horror. I'm not the jump scare kind of the psychological thriller stuff, as long as it's not too bad. And this one wasn't, like, literally, I'm looking at the poster to The Number 23, and it's got the movie title and it's got his face and it's all black and white. And I'm like, man, Ace, you really have grown up and a lot of shit has happened to you, because damn. But yeah, no, I just, Jim Carrey, dude, just absolutely amazing. I just, yeah. And the Sonic movies, we are definitely going to be doing the Sonic movies at some point. I just got to wait the third one to hit whatever. I think it's probably going to hit Paramount Plus if it hasn't already. But yeah, I want to cover the Sonic movies at some point. Wow, 20. Now, see, that's the other thing about movies that I miss. is that literally three Sonic movies over 6 years, 2020, 2022, and 2024. That's awesome. So, Jim Carrey, folks, he is an amazing person, an amazing actor. He's got a lot of other great roles as well. But 1994, 30 years ago, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. I just can't get over they all came out in the same year. That is so freaking cool. Any final thoughts from you, sir, before I send it to an ad break?
No, I think I'm good. I've really enjoyed reminiscing on Jim Carrey.
Yeah. He's such a great actor. And, you know, so even some of the other stuff that we haven't talked about, like Me, Myself, and Irene and other things, he like Fun with Dick and Jane. When we did that, like having him in that role alongside Taya Leone as his wife, like, just, I love watching Hollywood matchups to actors, to characters, to see how well they're going to play off of each other. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but I think most every duo he's been a part of, it really has worked for the most part. So these ads, folks, that you're going to hear are other podcast ads that we advertise here on the network, and they're going to tell you something after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever. And now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch, you can reach out and talk with the hosts, and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear, we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talked.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. We are back, and it's going to be a short kind of thing here at the end. But, Steve, is there anything that you've seen recently, lately, either at the end of 2024 or the beginning of 2025 that you're really looking forward to?
Something that I'm looking forward to releasing?
Yeah, whatever it is, like whether it's a movie or a TV show or video game, whatever. What are you looking forward to?
So, I mean, the video game already came out, but it's the Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which is essentially Budokai Tenkaichi 4, which it's been like 20 years since that came across. I'm playing the crap out of it. I really enjoy it. I'm looking forward to the English dub of Dragon Ball Daima, which takes place immediately after they defeat Majin Buu in Dragon Ball Z. And it's also before the 7-year time span of Dragon Ball Super. And then there's this like weird time span where the end of Dragon Ball Z is like the last 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. That's like a few years after Dragon Ball Super. It gets muddied with the timeline. Dragon Ball GT doesn't exist. It was not created by the original creator. But anyways, I'm waiting for the English dub of Daima to come out. I've been watching the subs more so just because I'm nosy and want to know what's in it. And I'm going to enjoy it. I just, yeah. I would prefer to watch it in English and not have to read it.
Yep.
But in addition to that, I'm waiting for Sonic 3.
Yep.
And there's not a whole... I'm waiting to get my hands on Transformers 1. And yeah, I mean, otherwise that's pretty much it, like for the year. I mean, as far as like media release content, like I'm kind of waiting for 2025 to see what's coming out. There's nothing really on streaming that I care about that's new.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking back towards physical media in some degrees because I've had 3 things ripped out from under me this past week.
Oh no.
On the digital side of things. So yeah.
What was ripped out from under you this week?
Yeah. It's like the AI stuff and then okay. Like the songs and then the multiple TV shows I've gone to watch. Okay. It's kind of sucked, but I would definitely recommend people this Black Friday going out and purchasing.
Yes.
But yeah. So, I mean, otherwise, like I'm working on, you know, just podcast stuff for us and like Dragon Ball, the Cyber Dragon Ball podcast, Altered Geek, and then some side podcasting stuff I'm kind of looking into. So.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here on Geekcast Radio. For now, I have been TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh yeah, and unleash the geek in you.
Alrighty then.
You've just heard a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or interact with us on X @geekcastradio and on Facebook @geekcastradio network. Don't forget to subscribe to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash